Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
We'll be taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syria and Phoenicia, and begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. He then spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means, "be opened." At this the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
May we pray. It is our desire, O Lord, to know you, not just in mind, but in heart. Not just in heart, but in life. Breathe upon us this day your fresh breath. Help us to hear who you are and whose we are. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Jesus also wanted to get away. One of the things that we talk about when we talk about Jesus is his humanity. This is the second Sunday that you and I have shared in the Nicene Creed. You will notice that it's a mouthful, is it not? And that second part, it talks more about Jesus than it does anyone in the Nicene Creed compared to the Apostles' Creed. One of the things that we said today that maybe we just say in saying it is that he became truly human. What does that mean to you? Truly human. God from God, light from light, true God from true God. He came from the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, but he became truly human. What does it mean that Jesus was also human? How human will you and I let Jesus be? How close to sin will we let Jesus be human without being a sinner? Do you hear what I'm saying? Whenever you and I think about Jesus being a human, we say, well, you know, preacher, we'll go for that up until that sin part. Amen? Because in Hebrews, it says that Jesus learned, by what he suffered, he grew in wisdom and in stature with man and with God. I guess I have a higher divinity of Jesus than humanity. And that can be very dangerous. Because if I don't think Jesus was human, I really can't identify with him that much. Maybe I do that because I don't want to identify with him that much. You can have too much of a humanity understanding of Jesus and a low divinity. And that's not healthy either. But Jesus being incarnate means that he wasn't 50% man and 50% God, and you add those two together and you come up with 100%. That's not what that means. Jesus was 100% humanity, human, and 100% God. Now you may say, preacher, how can that be? And I will tell you with my master's degree, I have no earthly idea. Mark includes a story here that troubles me. There are explanations to soften it. They define this word dog as puppies. Some say that it was a proverb, you know, like if you said to someone you can lead a horse to water but you can't make him drink, you know, that wouldn't be calling somebody a horse. It says that Jesus was tired. Of course, he's up in Tyre. He's up in Gentile territory. Tyre and Israel didn't really have that good of relationships. You know, Solomon, he went up there and got some cedar and he traded some bread for their cedar trees to make the temple. But Tyre and Sodom didn't really have that good a relationship with Israel. Jesus is often seen as a person who sticks up for the least, the less, and the lost when it comes to those persons who's like him, who's Jewish. But here he is in Gentile territory. And a good Jew doesn't go to Gentile territory because Gentiles are unclean. They even have animals as pets that Jews consider savages, such as dogs. Now, I must admit with you, brothers and sisters, I'm a dog lover. I have a basset hound. Her name is Prince. Her name is Lady. Like, I don't know my own dog's name. Her name is Lady. I speak to her like I think she understands me. She wags her tail like she wants me to think she understands me. We have had dogs in our house, and at the table, we have sort of, you know, taken some food and held it down beside us, and dogs in the past that we've had in the house, they've eaten under the table. Sometimes we have spilt things off of the table, and we go, here, sweetheart, here. So we know, I know, about feeding dogs under the table. I know that some of us, our dogs, our canine friends, are family. Am I wrong or am I right? They're family, are they not? My uncle took me rabbit hunting when I was real young. And he said, now Randall, my beagles are going to be running that rabbit right down through here. Shoot the rabbit, not my dog. I got a feeling that my uncle would have been very disappointed in me if I had shot one of his beagles and not the rabbit. So here we have a woman who comes to Jesus who's in a different culture, a different race, a different set of ideas, but she's got one thing in common with all humanity. She's got a daughter that she loves. A daughter who has a demon that is in control of her life, and she wants her healed. And she knows Jesus is in town, so she goes to him and she begs him to heal her. She gets down on her knees, which is a sign of humility. Sisters, I want to talk to you just a minute real briefly, because sometimes you might hear this concerning this woman in Mark's gospel. She got on her knees, so she submitted to Jesus. So women, you submit. The next person you hear say that, you should throw a tomato at them. Because what they mean and what it says is two different things. Sisters, when the Bible says submit, it means to work with. Did you hear that? I'm going to say it again. When the Bible says to submit, that word means to work with. It doesn't mean to lie down and let somebody walk on you, mistreat you, dehumanize you, and treat you like an object That's not what it means. Amen? Sisters, I want you to hear this, and I want you to teach your daughters this, and I want you to teach your sons this. Here you have a woman who humbles herself. And then you have a disturbing part where Jesus calls her, I guess, probably what his culture called those persons in Tyre. And that is a dog. And he didn't do it like Randy Jackson does it. If you saw Randy Jackson on American Idol, he used to call people dog. Hey, dog. You know, that was like, hey, bro. You know? Of course, if you're a Georgia Bulldog, you don't mind being called a dog, do you? It's not dehumanizing, you know. Of course, now if you're for another team, like I know some of you are, you would take that very offensively. But here you have someone that Jesus calls a dog, yet she doesn't let that deter her from stepping and becoming in for her daughter. She doesn't stop her from filling in the gap for her daughter. She even says, even the dogs eat from the crumbs of the table. Have you ever met anybody who likes to verbally wrestle? Have you met people who you just thought loves to argue? We say about them, they'd argue with a fence post. You know, there are some people who love to argue. They love to wrestle. That's their way of wrestling with you. That's the way they're wrestling with you. I don't know what's going on here, but this woman got what she wanted. Because when she said what she said, Jesus said, for saying that, you may go home. Your daughter has been made well. Sometimes I wonder if you and I thought that Jesus could learn some things, would we think that about ourselves? If Jesus could learn some things, maybe I can learn some things. I mean, if Jesus didn't know it all and he had to learn and to grow, maybe I don't know everything. Maybe I can learn and grow. If God humbled himself to become a man and to experience what it was like to be a human being and loved me enough to do that, maybe I too can experience what it's like to be a human being and know that it's okay. Because sometimes, brothers and sisters, I don't like being a human being. I can't figure a lot of things out that I would like to figure out. There's a lot of times I'd like to have a little bit of that divinity, you know. I know that the Holy Spirit lives within me and he speaks to me and helps me, but in no way am I God. But Jesus was 100% human and 100% divine. And he struggled. He wanted the cup to be passed before him if it was his Father's will. He didn't want to die, but he loved his Father so much that he was willing to die. And then we have our second story of a man who is deaf and he was mute. And some people wonder if the woman who taught Jesus to be open to her also shared with him to be open to all persons. And here we have the sign of the ears that are deaf as well as a tongue that cannot speak properly. And Jesus comes and heals this man and says to him, be opened. I ask you and me today, how open are you and me when it comes to our relationships with all persons? Are there some people in your life that you meet that you may have closed minds to? Maybe there are some people in our life that we have experienced that we need to draw a line, and until they change, they don't come across this line. There are people in our lives that we may have. Yet we need to be open to the possibility of people changing. We do believe in a God who can change people's minds and people's hearts. I mean, you and I say that God changed us, and we want people to believe that. And the way we express that is in how we live, and that shows whether or not we've been changed. Then there are times that you and I are to practice openness to people, giving people a chance, hearing them out. You know, it's like going to a restaurant that's got a name all over the world and eating there and getting a bad meal and then never going back to another place calling that. Have you ever done that before? I'll never forget the first cold meal I ever ate at a restaurant. And it was a main name brand restaurant. And when I left there, I told Mary, I said, I will never eat at another restaurant with that name. Have you ever said that? Do you think that's fair? I mean, if this restaurant has cold food, are you going to project that on another restaurant with the same name? Well, I guess we do. But is that fair? I know some people who have said to me, oh, preacher, I don't trust you. I've known too many preachers. I get it. You get it. I get it. But you know what I can say to them? I've known too many church parishioners. I probably shouldn't trust you. But to be open, to be vulnerable, to take a chance on being disappointed, to being wrong. You know, Tim the two-man tailor, I just love to watch him because when he's wrong, he can't say the word. Have you seen it? Have you seen Tool the two-man tailor? Have you seen when Jill gets him wrong? She says, now you were what? He says, I was wrong. I was wrong. He can't get it out. He can't get it out. You know, brothers and sisters, it's one thing to be wrong. It's another to think we are a wrong. Sometimes I think we think that when someone says we're wrong, that means that I'm a wrong and you're a wrong and we're just wrong. But that's not what it means at all. To be wrong means that we make a mistake, that we've interpreted something wrong, that something's got in the way of seeing it the way that it is. Prejudice is a tremendous enemy. But prejudice, as you and I know, is ignorance. Ignorance doesn't mean stupid. We're not stupid. But if we're prejudiced, it's because we don't know fully what we need to know about persons. I don't know if Jesus was prejudiced against this woman. But as a human being, all that he was taught in his culture was that you just don't trust someone from Tyre. But then I think the same thing was said about him. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, yes, there can. His name is Jesus. Amen. And there's someone good who can also come out of Tyre. And she was this Phoenician Gentile woman. May we pray. Almighty God, open our eyes and our ears and our mouth to speak the truth, to see the truth, to hear the truth, to live the truth. And to remember, O Lord, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is our prayer. That is our creed. And we pray that that is the theme of our everyday life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.